It's HSK Today.
Essay made by Patera with the right pad.
A weekly in-depth look at the Henderson Silver Knights.
Morelli left wing. Richard scores.
And the AHL.
2 seconds and one. The Silver Knights hang on.
With your hosts, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo.
Firebirds later on tonight. That game will be heard on Fox Sports Las Vegas. I am here ready for that action. Justin Russo will be with us tonight as well, but doing so from the Vegas studios where he currently sits. For the Silver Knights, trying to get off the schneid and back in the win column, winless in their last five. We'll break down the details of tonight's contest. Special guest in our second segment, Hall of Fame goaltender Grant Fuhr, who is now the color commentator for the Coachella Valley Firebirds, will join us and give us his expertise of, the present and the past, both what the Firebirds have done so well this season and what he did so well for so many years between the pipes. To earn Hall of Fame accolades as well as five Stanley Cup rings. It'll be a fun conversation with Grant Fuhr in our second segment. So much to do today. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Brian. How about you? How's the weather over there in Palm Desert?
It's very nice. It's light jacket weather if you get cold easily, but it's been comfortable. but for the Silver Knights, they've been a little cold themselves, but over the course of the last couple of weeks, Silver Knights 0-4-1 in their last five. And managed to break through one drought. They'd gone quite some time without scoring prior to Monday night's 5-2 loss against the Firebirds. Lucas Cormier snapping the goal-scoring drought for the Silver Knights at just a hair over 225 minutes of game action. But, Justin, when you have that kind of challenge, when the puck's just not going in, obviously something like that can snowball. It goes from frustrating to discouraging to, okay, we just got to break through here. The Silver Knights finally did. But once you do, you pick your head up and realize, like, okay, well, that's one problem down, fine. But, they're not finding ways to win games over these last couple of weeks, and it's made for a difficult stretch to start this road trip.
Yeah, certainly. I think, a lot of things started stacking on top of each other there, especially mentally for the team when, you mentioned they're not winning games, but they're also not scoring goals. And I think that starts to take a toll on you. You always hear the old cliche of you start gripping that stick a little bit tighter, trying to overextend yourself and do something to get those goals. So hopefully for the Silver Knights, getting those couple of goals in the last game can take one thing off of their shoulders and they can just focus on tonight's game and getting the win against the Firebirds. And, I really think that the first couple of games that they went without scoring a goal, it didn't feel like the sky was falling in any way because defensively they were so good. It was a 1-0 shutout loss, a 2-0 loss to Milwaukee. It was close, but I think over the last couple you saw things unravel a little bit. Of course, the 7-0 loss against Milwaukee the night after, and then the last game on Monday to Coachella Valley. So hopefully for the Silver Knights, they can get that out of the way, that scoring streak out of the way, and just focus what they need to do in tonight's game. And of course, it's been a lot of guys up and down in the lineup. It's been some new faces for them, of course, especially on Monday with Jet Jones making his AHL debut. So we'll see if the Silver Knights can kind of rally around here and get a win in Palm Desert tonight.
You're right, Justin. And there are a lot of transactions to cover. We'll chat on that a little bit in just a few minutes. But, to your point, the 1-0 shootout loss in Calgary, not only is there nothing to be disappointed in for the Silver Knights, aside from the fact not getting 2 points, there was a lot to be proud of, and Ryan Craig was very, very happy with the effort of his team in that 1-0 loss to Calgary. The 2-0 loss in Milwaukee, it was a little less rosy. It was still a game that they played well, but he felt there were opportunities there to be had to find some finish. Silver Knights had 2 posts in the third period of that game. You live in the present, you live in the here and now, and everything you do on a day-to-day basis is under a microscope for that day. If it's good, you forget about it 2 days later. If it's rough, you remember it 3 days later. And the 7-0 loss and the loss on Monday here in Coachella Valley kind of stick with you a little bit more. But, I think for the Silver Knights, the goal-scoring element has to turn around, and the Silver Knights now are 30th in the league in goals per game. That's something that they need to improve. But at the same time, Monday, I think it was more of a defensive aggravation for the Silver Knights. They gave up goals off the rush. They gave up goals off of turnovers. It just wasn't a clean, concise game for the HSK, which, despite the puck not going in, prior to the weekend set against Milwaukee, that was something the Silver Knights still had buttoned up pretty well.
Yeah, and I think that kind of piggybacks off of the inability to score offensively, where I think especially in the that Milwaukee game, it just felt like they were really trying to overextend themselves offensively to get that goal. And then on the other end, you could see Milwaukee taking advantage of some of those coverage breakdowns, getting some odd man rushes. You know, Milwaukee only had 28 shots on goal in that game, but they scored 7 goals because they had a ton of grade A chances, because the Silver Knights, I think, were just trying to find any way they could to score that next goal and to get something on the board. And the defensive details weren't there as much as they should have been. And I think, to your point, that kind of carried over into the last game on Monday as well, where, you know, they had a couple of goals, even had a timely goal from Sheldon Rempel at the start of the third period to, you know, get them back within a couple there. And then they give up the one to Shane Wright later in the third to make it a 3-goal game again. So for the HSK, it's one of those things defensively that they've done well fairly recently, and I think they can get back to. And we'll see if that goal scoring comes just as it did on Monday.
Well, head coach Ryan Craig opined on these matters after Monday night's loss. Let's give a listen to what head coach Ryan Craig had to say.
With head coach Ryan Craig, coach, just your overall takeaways from tonight's game.
We couldn't get the next goal to close it. You know, when it's 2-0, and it got to 3. You know, we make it 3-1. Really good effort there. You know, we get a big penalty kill, but they've made it 4-2 or 4-1. Then it's 4-2, right? So we're just trying to push the game and get back into the game. And when you're chasing the game, it takes a lot out of you. And I didn't think we had enough. You know, we weren't able to muster enough up to finish to make that push at the end.
Are there certain things defensively that get particular focus that you guys try to correct for?
Well, pucks are going through us. We knew they're a team that gets to the slot. We were there tonight. Just puck management, valuing the puck, doing the right things with the puck. You know, sometimes you got to punt. Sometimes it's just a matter of being heavy on it. So that's something we'll address as we move forward here. You know, I thought we battled, we competed. You know, we lose Primo halfway through the game. You know, when Brandon Hickey comes in and plays forward for us. So we had a lot of good efforts tonight. I thought Morelli's line with Rempel and Benson was really, really good. So, you know what, we have to find a way to get more. We have to find a way to play with a lead. We were able to get on the scoreboard tonight, and we'll try to build on that for Wednesday.
The Morelli line with Rempel and Benson did generate a lot of chances, especially in the latter half of the game. What were some of the things that they were doing well?
Well, they did a good job playing below the goal line, back in the net, playing off the shot. They had a net presence, they had a slot presence, which is key for us. So, you know, we'll look at some stuff. There's some things we can build on with that to look to help us create offense.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
As head coach Ryan Craig, you know, two things I really took away from that conversation, Justin. First off, you know, the idea, and you just spoke to this a little bit as well, Justin, the anxiety that really can come with trying not just to break through and score goals when the puck's not going in, but also, as Ryan Craig termed it, chasing the game. And for the Silver Knights, you know, they've just been playing behind a lot, and this has been an issue for the for much of the season to this point. Silver Knights have only had 6 games this season, and tonight is game number 39. They've had 6 games this season where they've had a lead at the end of the first period. They're 6-0, but only 6 times have they had a lead after 20 minutes. Silver Knights are now a minus 20 in first period. Their starts have certainly been stacking things against them over the course of this rough stretch.
Yeah, and I think you look at some of the lopsided losses, especially as of late, you know, the one to Ontario just before the new year, all the first, you know, ton of first period goals in that one, the one to Milwaukee to give up some in the first, Calgary last weekend had a barrage in the first, and, you know, it's unfortunate because I think you look at the final two periods for the Silver Knights, and they have the ability to come back in these games and score these timely goals, but they just dig themselves into these holes that are a bit insurmountable to start these games. And, you know, I think what Ryan Craig said there too as well, you know, they just couldn't get that next goal to really get back in the game. It was always a 2-goal deficit to a 3-goal deficit. They couldn't get that next one to really start to reel in the Firebirds in the game. And to your point, just kept chasing and chasing. By the end of it, the Firebirds had a healthy lead in that game and were able to skate away with the win.
On the flip side, the one trio for the Silver Knights that really generate a lot of opportunities and shift after shift, particularly I thought the second period they were all over the puck, was Sheldon Rempel, Mason Morelli, and Tyler Benson. Really, really good. Sheldon Rempel, of course, scores early in the third period on Monday. He's been one of the more consistent scorers for the Silver Knights, but, I mean, that's a line I would expect we're going to see again tonight.
Oh, 100%, and I think we saw this with Mason Morelli early in the season before he had to be moved around a bunch because of the transactions and the injuries, and then he himself was hurt a little bit. He was really going in that early part of the season when he had some continuity with a couple of guys and they started to build some chemistry. And I think you saw it with that line on Monday with himself, Rempel, and Benson, that they are starting to build that chemistry in the offensive zone, starting to be able to generate some of those chances. And I think Mason Morelli especially is one of those guys that can help drive that when he gets comfortable with a couple of guys on his line. And, you know, to your point on that Sheldon Rempel goal in the third period, just one where gets a nice drop pass and drives right into the slot and fires a shot into the net for a goal. So I think that was a line that was really impressive in terms of the different ways that they were generating chances. It wasn't just a dump and chase. They were getting stuff on in transition as well. And certainly expect them to stay together tonight, and we'll see if the group around them can fill in where needed offensively.
Well, the reason it's even significant to say that that trio could stay together is because there has been a lot of jumbling of late, and for good reason, for the Silver Knights, again, trying to find a spark. But also, there's just been a lot of personnel change. And, you know, we haven't done this segment in a while, but it's certainly appropriate to do now. The wavering, or not wavering, the transit between the Henderson Silver Knights and the Vegas Golden Knights, that highway has been well-traveled over the last couple of weeks. Let's give a listen to Silver and Gold.
Silver and gold, silver and gold. Everyone wishes for silver and gold. How do you measure its worth?
Knights win the draw. There's an empty net to our left. Here come the Knights. Little fake through center and all the way to the goal. An empty net goal for the Golden Knights. Jonas Rundjerk guides it into the empty net. 4-1 Vegas, 2:28 to play in the third.
Certainly has been an impact player.
Shoots, he scores! It's his first!
Jonas Rundjerk, an impact player for the Vegas Golden Knights during the recall, as, of course, the Golden Knights have been banged up of late. But Jonas Rundjerk has come back to the HSK. He was announced to return earlier today. He will be available for the Silver Knights this evening. But right now, Justin, I mean, there's just so much HSK presence up with the VGK when you look at Brendan Brisson, who made his NHL debut the other night. Byron Fraze is still up. Both Isaiah Seville and Yuri Patera are up. This is a Silver Knights team that has been without some of its go-to performers for a little while now, and it's because the VGK have required their services.
Yeah, and you know, I think you look at what Golden Knights broadcaster Dan Duva had to say. I think he pulled the stats before the last game against Nashville, saying that 10 of 23 players on the current VGK roster, at least at the time of the Nashville game, had spent time with the Henderson Silver Knights, and 7 of them were in that game, including Brendan Brisson making his NHL debut. So you're seeing the Henderson Silver Knights guys needing to make an impact up there due to some injuries at the VGK level and the NHL level. And you've gotten a lot of contributions from some of those guys. We expect and hope that Brendan Brisson is going to continue on his way here as the VGK prepare for the Rangers tomorrow. And it's just exciting to see these guys get an opportunity. And, you know, I think Ryan Craig talked about that in the last week or so as well, at both levels, really talking about the excitement that he has for some of the guys to get their opportunity to live their dream at the NHL level. But at the same time, we talked about Jett Jones making his AHL debut and some of the guys that are getting increased opportunities with Henderson and how excited he was for them to be able to try to insert themselves more regularly into the Silver Knights lineup.
Brendan Brisson just making his NHL debut. Lucas Cormier making his NHL debut last week, getting his first NHL point on an assist on a Jack Eichel goal. And Jack Eichel is going to be out now. He's week to week is how he has been described. And again, that's going to impact not just, of course, the VGK without Jack Eichel's services, but also the rate at which the Silver Knights might get some of these players back. Of course, Lucas Cormier back with the HSK now. Brendan Brisson remains up. Silver Knights also a little dinged up. They've been without Jacob Brabenitz for a couple of weeks now with an upper body injury. They look like they might now be without Mason Primo for a little while as well. He blocked a shot last night in the second period and did not return. I think the initial prognosis of Primo is better than they initially thought it might be. He certainly was in some discomfort last night, but they still might be without him for a little bit. So with that, Silver Knights make some moves of their own. Simone Pinard has been called back up from the ECHL's Savannah Ghost Pirates, as has Matt Bowdens, who has not appeared with the Silver Knights yet this season, but he certainly has appeared with the Silver Knights before. He was up for a significant chunk of the 21-22 season. Brings a lot of energy to the bottom six. It is not certain if we would see him tonight, but I think we will see Simone Pinard, and likely we'll see Jett Jones play in his second AHL game. So for the Silver Knights, some urgency tonight to find 2 points against a Coachella Valley Firebirds team that has points in 7 of its last 8, is dramatically improving in this building where they were so good last year. They're now back to 500 at 7-7-3 at Acrisure Arena after starting the season 2-6-0. Silver Knights will have to stem that Firebird progress. We will step out. When we come back, we'll be joined by Hall of Fame goaltender Grant Fuhr, also the color commentator for the Firebirds. He'll give us pearls of wisdom on not just the current Firebirds team, but on the his career and how the goaltending position has changed through the last few decades. Exciting conversation with Grant Fuhr on the other side of the break. Brian McCormick and Justin Russo here with you on 12:30 of the game. This is HSK Today.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I only have one question. Where is
Brian McCormick?
Back on HSK Today, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo here with you, getting ready for the Silver Knights and the Coachella Valley Firebirds later on this evening. We'll be on the call on our side, but on the other side for the Firebirds, Grant Fuhr will be on the call because he is the color commentator for the Coachella Valley Firebirds, as well as, of course, a Stanley Cup winner, a 5-time Stanley Cup winner, and a Hockey Hall of Famer, and Grant Fuhr joins us now. Grant, thanks for taking some time this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, Grant, for anyone who is not in the Coachella Valley market, they might think that, well, a retired Hall of Famer living in Coachella Valley, that's going to be a lot of golf and a lot of downtime, but you love the game so much, you're still so actively involved, and you are on the broadcast for the Firebirds. How did that come to be?
You know what? When they first brought the team to town, by co-hosting the TV side of it, Gino Lamont asked if I'd be interested in maybe co-hosting the TV side, and it turned out we started to do that a little bit, and ended up doing that, doing the radio, and I love being around the rink, so it just kind of fell into my lap.
Well, hey, Grant, you know, obviously a fun opportunity for you to become the color commentator for the Firebirds. And, you know, I'm interested. We always talk about here in Vegas and Henderson the growth of hockey in the desert. Is it, you know, it's not a natural thing, right? So I wonder from your perspective in Palm Desert, how have you seen hockey grow in that community over time?
You know what? It's been, I think, better than anybody thought. I mean, I knew hockey would be popular because we've got a ton of Canadians that are down here during the winter. But it was the local market that we weren't really sure about. And they've kind of taken a love to the game of hockey, and it's been fun to see them have that love. And our season ticket base grew by, I don't know, 1,500 or 2,000 this year. So we're up around the 6,000 mark. And everybody's kind of fallen in love with the game, and it's fun to see in a non-traditional market.
And, Grant, of course, success is going to make fans love the team all the more. This is a team that came within one goal of a Calder Cup championship in its first season. What can you see from this Firebirds group this year, which had a bit of a slower start out of the gate, perhaps to be expected, but really seems to be hitting its stride now in January?
Yeah, I mean, we had a little bit of turnover. I think we lost 7 or 8 guys, and the ownership group and Troy Bodie have done a great job of bringing in veteran replacements. I mean, we've got some young kids in Ryan Winterton, who was great the other night, and Jacob Melanson's been really good. Shane Wright's been really good. So they've brought some young guys in, but they also replaced it with some good veterans like Connor Carrick, Cale Fleury on the back end, Chris Drieger, who's up in Seattle right now in goal. So, I mean, we've done a good job of replacing the guys we had last year with some veterans and some really good young talent. And it's a group that's taken a little bit of time to kind of mesh as a group, but at the same time, they're starting to play really good hockey right now.
You know, for a team in the Firebirds that went as far as they did last season in the Calder Cup playoffs, you know, you obviously have experience in getting to that point and getting that far in the postseason. What is the mentality like for a team the next season in terms of trying to avoid a bit of that hangover, something that the Firebirds have started to avoid now and they've really picked up the pace?
I think part of the problem is you're a little frustrated when you start the season because you got so close last year. And it took a little while for the team probably to get over that. But at the same time, once you've got a taste of being in the finals, you want to get back there. And I think the guys realize that they're going to have to be good night in, night out to have that chance to get back there again. And as it's gone, the year, everybody's gotten better and better. The commitment's gotten better and better. And they're playing good sound hockey, which they've been great on the road all year long. It's, we struggled a little at home to start. So it's finally starting to click in this building. And in that sense, they're becoming a more complete group.
With Hall of Famer Grant Fuhr. Grant, if we can, you know, just talk a little bit about your outstanding career, parts of 19 seasons, and of course so well remembered for being part of the one of the best teams of all time, the 80s Edmonton Oilers, and winning five Stanley Cups. Pretty much took the torch from the Islanders dynasty, and then the Oilers dynasty followed. How do you look back on that team now as, again, it's a team that's so well appreciated still for what you guys accomplished?
Still get a lot of great friends from that team. I mean, it was a close group, and I think that's part of what made us so good is we were a close group where it was more family than team. And we, Glenn Sather did a good job of putting a bunch of young guys together and letting us grow as men and letting us grow as players. And we enjoyed each other's company. We enjoyed being at the rink every day. And I think that's what you take out of it is you have to have fun when you're at the rink because seasons are long, they're a grind, but we enjoyed every day of it.
You know, when you look back on some of those teams and, you know, the just your number of Stanley Cups you were able to win, of course, the eras are different a little bit nowadays with the salary cap and all these kinds of things with movement of players. You know, how tough is it nowadays as compared to when you were winning? And do you look at the teams currently now and kind of wonder how tough it is to consistently win like that?
Well, I think the hardest part in today's game is the salary cap. I mean, back then, yeah, we didn't make the money, but at the same time, there was no salary cap restricting any teams. So When you have a championship team now, if you've got some guys that are coming up in free agency, it's hard to replace those guys, and it's hard to replace your bottom six guys, which when it comes to playoff time, those are your important guys that you have to have, and it's hard to replace those guys in the salary cap era when your stars are making as much as they are.
Grant, those teams that you played on in Edmonton are so well celebrated and well documented with Gretzky's and Messier's and Curry's, yourself, Paul Coffey, and I could go on and on and on, and that kind of makes the point. Is there anyone from that era of Oilers hockey that maybe is, I don't know if underrated would be the right question or the right term, but is there anyone who maybe doesn't get as much love as they maybe could?
You look at a guy like Charlie Huddy, Kevin Lowe, my first couple of years, Lee Fogelin. We added at the deadline the one year, we added Kent Nielsen. We had a Kenny Linsman, we had Dave Hunter, Patty Hughes, the guys that did all the grunt work, basically. You got Marty McSorley, Semenko, Kevin McClellan, who added some toughness to our team that allowed the stars to be stars. And we had a little of everything. And I think that was the key to it is we had, yeah, we had lots of talent. I mean, you got Mastriari, Paul Coffey. You have all those guys. But then you add in the guys that didn't get the credit for it, but all knew what their roles were and played their roles to the max.
You know, I'm sure you had a specific routine as a player coming into some of those games. And, you know, I wonder, first of all, how did you prepare for some of those games back then? And now as a broadcaster, do you find yourself kind of getting into the same habits when it comes to preparing for broadcasts?
You know, when I played, I was pretty laid back. I mean, I like to be at the rink early and just kind of relax and get into the mode of hockey. And as a broadcaster, it's the same thing. I still like to go to the rink early, kind of relax. Socialize with the people in the office and make a few notes and get ready for the broadcast. But yeah, I still look at the game the same way. I like to make sure I'm out in our broadcast spot long before warm-up starts. So when warm-up spot starts, I can sit and watch the players and you look for body language and see what's going on. And it's similar to when I was playing.
We're with Grant Fuhr, who a Hockey Hall of Fame career that after you finished playing, Grant, you also were a goaltending coach for a number of seasons as well. I'm curious, you played during an era where the goaltending position changed a lot stylistically. And, of course, you change with the game in order to have success. But just a lot of stylistic change amongst goaltenders from when you started till now. How do you feel about the evolution of how the position has changed and how young goaltenders are still trying to change the position as the game evolves?
Well, that's the fun of the game is you have to evolve with the game. I mean, when I first started, it was extremely stand-up, and then it went to the transition of some stand-up, some butterfly, then it went to mostly butterfly, and you're starting to see it now where mobility is having to come back into the game. So you've got some guys that are standing up, some guys that are full butterfly, and you're seeing a transition almost into a hybrid where you've got some guys that are on their feet a little bit more and you've got some guys butterflying, but you have to be mobile. So you have to figure out what your guys do to make them their best. You take their talents and you try and build on that.
when you look at some of the modern goaltenders in today's game, are there any guys that you specifically point out that you really like their game or some of the things they're doing on the ice?
Well, obviously, Vasilevsky in Tampa has been phenomenal for the last little while. Mm-hmm. I was a big Carey Price fan. I think Carter Hart's going to be a star in the league. I think Logan Thompson's done a phenomenal job in Vegas. Baden Hill in the playoffs last year was phenomenal. So there's a lot of young talent in the league right now. And it's fun to see them from year to year to see what they add to their game, to see what they differ, because every year you have to add something to your game. Otherwise, guys know what your habits are as much as you know what their habits are.
Grant, on that point, you know, the last few seasons, last three seasons, I guess you could say, that there really has been a spike in offensive production in the National Hockey League. And I'm curious, would you think that it has more to do with offensive players getting better, again, the evolution of the game, or the fact that there are a lot of young goaltenders right now? There was a bit of a passing of the torch for the Lundqvists and the Rennes and the Millers. Like, a lot of accomplished goaltenders retired in a short window of time. Do you think it has more to do with the goaltending crop or the game itself?
I think it's the evolution of the game. They've been trying to bring offensive hockey back since the 80s. So now you're starting to see a little bit of it, and as that happens, goaltending has to change. So you're seeing a little bit of a transition in goaltending right now. And you look in the American Hockey League, and you see a guy like Dustin Wolf. He's kind of that in between, where he can be a stand-up goalie, but he's also very good in a butterfly and laterally. And you're seeing the guys that aren't very good laterally right now are getting exposed. So it's a transition in goaltending to keep up with the game.
And, Grant, you're a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame yourself, and a tremendous career. We mentioned 5 Stanley Cups, a Vezina Trophy, multiple Vezina nominations. I wonder, when we evaluate the current game versus the 80s, and just the statistics, they're different eras, and the statistics can be evaluated differently. It feels like the Hockey Hall of Fame and the Hall of Fame Selection Committee have done a good job of revisiting players later on and looking at their numbers in the context of their time. Last year we saw Tom Barrasso and Mike Vernon get the call. Is that something that you think goaltenders especially, revisiting some of their numbers in the context of when they played is useful for Hall of Fame induction?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you look at the different generations. I mean, I go back where I watch guys like Glenn Hall, Terry Sawchuk, Johnny Bauer, Roger Crozier, Rogie Vachon. Then you crawl up into the 80s. When I played, there were some great goalies. You go into the 90s, it changed again. Now you've got Marty Brodeur. You've got Patrick Waugh. Marc-Andre Fleury came in the later 90s. So every generation is going to have their stars and their great goaltenders. So you can't place one generation against another because equipment changes, sticks change for forwards, the game changes pace-wise. So it's hard to compare one generation to the other. So you've got to be able to go back and take a look at it and compare the players in their generation.
You know, we touched on some of the young goaltenders, and you mentioned Dustin Wolf is one of those guys that's kind of like a tweener between the AHL and the NHL. And, you know, I wonder, for the goaltending position, what is that transition like in terms of AHL to NHL, in terms of, you know, we talk a lot about the forwards and trying to get them acclimated with some of the guys that they're going to be playing with. Is that transition up a level easier for a goaltender because it's the same job, harder? You know, what is that like from a goalie's perspective?
I think it's more structured at the National Hockey League level, but at the same time, everything happens a second faster. So, yeah, it's not quite as scrambly, but at the same time, everything that does happen happens a second faster, and that's the big transition, is you have to be able to adapt your thinking and your movements to react that second faster. And some guys are able to do it right away. Some guys, it takes a few games to get comfortable with that speed, and it's getting into games. Practice is never running at that speed. So once you get into games, you get the movement of the bodies and such at that second faster pace. It takes a little time to get used to that.
With Grant Fuhr, Grant, here in Coachella Valley last year, Joey Decord and Chris Drieger had really, really strong seasons. Chris Drieger having another good year, but you look at a young goaltender like Aleš Steska, who was really good on Monday. He's having a great stretch of a few weeks. Do you find, I'm sure all the players when you're around the rink are interested in talking to you, but do the goalies in particular come up and pick your brain?
They'll say hi. I try not to hang out. Colin Zulinella does a great job with our goalies. So I try not to get in the way. I watch. I'll drop into practice once in a while and watch. And if they have questions, then I'm happy to answer them. But you don't want to be overbearing.
Sure.
So I have fun when I go down to the rink and you have fun talking to the guys and that sort of thing. But it's also being a media type, you have to keep your distance at the same time.
Well, Grant, real quick, wanted to touch on one last thing for me, of course, in Palm Desert. You know, Brian opened the interview talking about some of the golf that goes on over there, and I wanted to ask you about, of course, you have your Celebrity Invitational coming up later in May, and if you could touch on that, and also wonder some of the best golfers among the hockey world that you've seen.
Some of the best golfers in the hockey world, probably Brett Hall. Obviously, Mario Lemieux was very good. Danny Quinn was really good. Ray Whitney's really good. Brendan Morrow's good. So there's a lot of really good players in the National Hockey League. And then as of my golf tournament, we decided, I used to travel around about 160 days a year doing charity events, and decided that instead of traveling around, maybe we'll have our own event here in the Valley to raise some money to keep locally, because a lot of the money travels out of state. Whereas we wanted to do something locally, and we got in touch with the Betty Ford Center and decided that we're going to raise some money for their children's program. And we've had this will be year four for us. So we bring in a bunch of athletes. Like last year we had Marcus Allen, Bo Jackson, Sterling Sharp's a regular. So we bring in a lot of great celebrities to come in, have some fun with some guys, and raise a bunch of money for a great charity.
Well, it's a terrific effort and a terrific cause, Grant, and we wish you all the luck and success and continuing to enjoy that function. Before we let you go, last question for me. You do have a close friend in the HSK coaching staff in Fred Brathwaite, who is your teammate in Calgary. He says that he is the best roommate you ever had. I don't know if that's his wording or yours. What has your friendship been like with Fred Brathwaite throughout the years?
Well, Freddie and I have stayed great friends. And yeah, he was a phenomenal roommate. When I first got traded to Calgary and Freddie was there, when I got to the hotel, I think I landed in Phoenix. Landed about 10 o'clock at night. Freddie had ordered cheeseburgers for us. So we kind of hit it off right away. And we're both pretty laid-back guys. I think that was the fun part, is we kind of see the game the same way, and we're not real high-stress guys. So it worked out as we've got a great friendship. Actually, Freddie and I went for dinner last night with my wife. So it stayed a close friendship, and it's one of my favorite friendships.
Well, I'll tell you what, Grant, I'll make sure next time I hang out with Freddie, cheeseburgers are the way to his heart. So now I have that tip. That's going to be helpful. But Grant,
most definitely.
That's right. It probably works for most people. Grant, we really appreciate you hanging out with us this afternoon, and we look forward to seeing you tonight for the Silver Knights and Coachella Valley Firebirds. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Guys, have a good afternoon.
You as well, Grant. That is Grant Fuhr, Hockey Hall of Famer and now member of the broadcast team, along with Evan Pivnik on the Coachella Valley Firebirds radio network. We'll step out when we come back. We'll talk a little bit about some NHL news popping up today. Cody Hodgson is back in the locker room and for the Milwaukee Admirals, so we'll discuss that and more news on the other side of the break. Brian McCormick and Justin Russo here with you on HSK Today on the Henderson Silver Knights radio network.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell.
HSK Today.
Back on HSK Today, Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. Silver Knights take on the Coachella Valley Firebirds later on this evening. A 7 o'clock puck drop that can be heard on Fox Sports Las Vegas. And while we have a moment, remind everyone of something fun coming up at the DLC in the next couple of, a week and a half from now. January 27th, Dollar Loan Center plays host to a fierce battle of the badges. The Las Vegas Police Department and the Las Vegas Fire Department go head-to-head in the annual Guns and Hoses game. Come down to the DLC, cheer on your favorite first responder as they go head-to-head and raise funds for the Vegas Fire and Rescue Charitable Association, with part of the proceeds supporting the families and honoring the memories of Sergeant Michael Abate and Trooper Alberto Felix. For tickets information, speak with a Silver Knights ticket rep at 702-463-5358. 702-463-5358 for the Guns N' Hoses game on January 27th. Big thank you to Grant Fuhr for joining us. Really a tremendous guy that, of course, his career speaks for itself, but I've had a chance to meet him in a few of our visits here to Acrisure Arena, always sitting on the table down to our right. And for a man who's had the success he's had and the accolades he has, he's among the more approachable people that you'll ever meet. And, you know, like he said about himself and Fred Brathwaite, both extremely laid-back, easygoing guys. and generous with his time. So thank you, Grant Fuhrer, for joining us. And as Justin very smartly raised the question to Grant, the Grant Fuhrer Celebrity Invitational, which is a huge benefit for charities, the fourth annual is May 17th and 18th. So if you're going to be in the Palm Springs area and you want to visit the Grant Fuhrer Celebrity Invitational, visit GrantFuhrerCelebrityInvitational.com, GrantFuhrerCelebrityInvitational.com. Before we move forward, just take a moment just to offer condolences to the San Jose Sharks and the San Jose Barracuda family as they announced yesterday the loss of Frank Torres. Frank Torres, who was the vice president of Barracuda Business Operations, and I know Frank personally. He was my first boss in the American Hockey League, among the men who hired me in San Antonio. And with the departure of the Rampage, Frank Torres actually came here to Coachella Valley to help get the Firebirds started prior to last season joining the San Jose Barracuda. Frank Torres tragically passed away earlier this week and unexpectedly, and certainly a significant loss for the American Hockey League family and also for the San Jose Barracuda and for those who knew him best. And again, I knew Frank well just a wonderful person and an incredibly talented and hardworking individual who's made a tremendous impact on making the American Hockey League in the Western Conference a prosperous and thriving business. So Frank will be dearly missed, and we certainly hope that those who knew him best, that his memory be a blessing. Moving on to a happier note, as we bring in Justin Russo, who I've dominated the first few minutes of this segment, but some happy news comes out of Milwaukee earlier today. It was announced the Milwaukee Admirals, who, of course, we just saw this past weekend, have added Cody Hodgson on a professional tryout agreement. And if you recognize the name Cody Hodgson, you should. He was he played better part of, I think, six seasons with Vancouver, Buffalo, and finished in Nashville. Has not played since 2015-16 when he was forced to retire early due to a disease called malignant hyperthermia, which was a muscle disorder. So because of that, he retired in 2016, and now 8 years later, making a comeback with the Admirals. A pretty fun story, Justin.
Oh, 100%, and really fun to see him get another opportunity. And, you know, as we just played Milwaukee, you might know that they are the affiliate of the Predators, so the last team that he played with. So good to see that organization give him another shot. And, you know, just 33 years old, feels like he has more to give. And exciting to see him back in the NHL, or professional hockey, I should say. And, you know, hope for the best for him. And keep an eye on him over there in Milwaukee. We'll see what he can bring to the Admirals.
He's 33 years old, if I'm not mistaken. So
yep.
33 years old, has not played since 2016. I'm just trying to put myself in those shoes. I think he's been doing skills work, skills coaching. He's been on the ice and involved in the game. So, you know, he's not coming out of the metal shop, or, you know, he hasn't become an accountant. But, you know, this is still getting back into anything, Justin, after you haven't done it for 8 years. It's hard to find. What were you doing 8 years ago that you think you would have a hard time doing now?
Probably everything, yeah. You know, I was, 8 years ago would have been, what year are we in right now? Oh, 2016 would have been 8 years ago. I was not even graduated from high school yet, so I was still figuring things out.
That was my first year in Idaho, the end of 2015-16, which would mean, I think at that time I could play kickball in the park without fear of separating my shoulder. So
not today.
Not today. that's why we sit behind this safe, comfortable table. Well, Cody Hodgson, hats off to him, and we'll keep an eye on how things go as he gets started with the Milwaukee Admirals again. That was announced earlier today. Another fun announcement from earlier this week, this one on the VGK side. There's a new member of the VGK family, Maverick, the VGK pup.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to I don't want to flex here, Brian, but I actually did get to meet Maverick earlier today, and he is every bit as cute as the pictures would lead you to believe. Really, really good boy.
I was not under the impression that he was playing it up for the cameras. I assume he's too young to know the situational implications. But it's a yellow lab, I think. Is that correct?
Yes, and you know, they spoke just after Bruce Cassidy made some comments today after practice, talking about the timeline for him. It's going to be an 18-month training process before eventually he becomes a service dog. So over the next 18 months, we'll see what how he's able to grow and what he's able to bring to the VGK.
Now, I'll tell you, it's a tremendous addition. It's cute. Work productivity is going to plummet. but I'll tell you, it's, you know, he's being trained to be a service dog, which means that there are very particular guidelines for how he must be raised, if you will. You can't just do anything you want with the puppy. It needs to be prepared for the task at hand when his, as you called it, his training program mm-hmm. is over. I think that's tougher on the staff. Like, you can't put him on the table. You can't sleep in the bed. Like, these are all things that, I mean, the dog doesn't know any better. He's just going to do what he's told. It's the staff who's going to have a hard time not breaking these rules left and right. We're the ones who need to be trained.
Well, one of the things they mentioned today at the short press conference that they gave as well was that a lot of what he's going to be doing around the VGK is very much for the socialization of him, just to be around a bunch of different environments, a bunch of different people with a lot going on, and to be comfortable around all of it. Because eventually, if he does find a veteran or a first responder that lives an active lifestyle, you want him to be accustomed to any environment that he's thrown into. So, you know, maybe it's a little looser in terms of the socialization. We'll get the training down whenever, you know. But if he gets a couple pets here and there, what's that going to hurt, right?
I'm just going to say, to me, it equates to a draft pick, essentially. It's a new member of the organization, a young member of the organization, is being brought in for development purposes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he's in the office in Summerlin, 30 minutes away from mine.
Yeah, it doesn't.
This feels like a distinctly HSK task.
It doesn't seem very fair, if you're being honest. Well, you know, I think that our friends down in Savannah would have a pretty good argument, too. A good draft pick, you know, maybe he needs to take a quick flight out there and, you know, meet some of the people out with the Ghost Pirates, too.
Well, as we covered with Silver and Gold in our first, and even if he was sent to us, it's a good possibility the way things have been going that he might get called up to
He might
Summerlin
be in the lineup tomorrow, is what we're saying.
Sooner than later. But Maverick the dog, Maverick the puppy, the VGK pup, get my nomenclature right. Make sure you follow VGK socials as we're going to see plenty more from Maverick in the days to come, I can assure you. Silver Knights taking on the Coachella Valley Firebirds tonight. Silver Knights have won two of the three meetings they lost on Monday. A 5-2 final. They had won three in a row against the Firebirds prior to Monday's contest. And as we mentioned again, it looks unlikely, I think, that Mason Primo is going to be available. I think he's in that day-to-day, week-to-week category after blocking a shot on Monday. This is going to be a Silver Knights lineup that is going to have another infusion of Savannah talent tonight. And it's one that needs to dig deep and get back in the win column.
Yeah, and you know, for the Silver Knights tonight against this Firebirds team, it's, you know, it's a team that's not too far ahead in the standings still, especially given the amount of times they're still going to play each other, a couple of games against Coachella Valley over the rest of the week. You know, the next one after tonight coming in Henderson, where the Silver Knights had a lot more success against Coachella Valley. So, you know, for Henderson, we'll see what they're able to do in terms of the offensive department. We talked a little bit about that earlier in terms of getting the monkey off their back, so to speak, in terms of getting those couple of goals on Monday. So we'll see if that mentality in terms of just solely focusing on the game itself can translate tonight against the Firebirds.
And for the Silver Knights, it is important to start turning the tide now. Tonight is game number 39 on the season. And coming into today, the Silver Knights have at fewest two games in hand. On Ontario is the team closest to them in that category. Nine games in hand do the Condors have on the Silver Knights. So other teams are going to catch up in that games played category. Time for them to start finding some wins. They'll look to do so tonight against the Firebirds. Silver Knights and Firebirds will be heard on Fox Sports Las Vegas tonight, not here on 12:30 the game. If you want to hear G League basketball, come here to 12:30 the game. Otherwise, we'll be ready to drop the puck at 7 p.m. with pregame at 6:30 on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Special thanks to Grant Fuhr for joining us this afternoon. With Justin Russo, I'm Brian McCormick. Thanks for joining us, all of you, on HSK Today. We'll be back next week with our next episode, but we hope to see you all tonight on Fox Sports Las Vegas for Silver Knights hockey on the Henderson Silver Knights Radio Network.